truth has a feeling to it. Very different feeling than a reframe feeling, or a technique feeling, or a do this, here's six steps to success feeling. Truth has a resonance that is a deeper insight that, and if it's true, it never goes away. And that's, to me, one thing that I love. As far as I'm aware, this is the most truth thing I've ever come across. And it's truth that requires no effort. It's truth that carries the day. It's the truth that makes showing up be the best of us. Not as a clever way to live and write it on my, get a Sharpie out and write it on my bathroom mirror. So when I'm cleaning my teeth, I tell myself 30 times, show up as you, and you got this. Truth's more powerful than anything, because it can't fade.
Du lyssnar på Human Change med mig, Daniel Magnusson. And today I have an English speaking guest, so I'm switching to English right away. Today I have Wynn Morgan with me here, and I came across Wynn a couple of months back when I found his podcast Under the Noise that he has together with Kate Roberts. And it's also focusing on the three principles. And I also enjoyed and joined Wynn Morgan's webinar that he had a couple of weeks back with George Pransky. And the webinar was focusing on how to sell to businesses, but mainly what kind of, as I interpret it, what kind of impact does actually the understanding of the three principles have on businesses. And it was very interesting, and I felt like, yeah, I'm gonna invite Wynn here to the podcast and see where we can go with this. And Wynn has been both trainer and consultant and three principles practitioner for quite a long time. So I'm glad to have you here, Wynn, and welcome to the podcast, to the show.
Well, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you here too. So it's an interesting thing, this with the principles and business. So I'm thinking let's dive into that. But before we do that, just some short, it doesn't need to be short, but what's your experience? And because you've been in business the whole time, or?
Well, I left university scarily 30 years ago now. And I think that might be the first time I've said it on a recording or live to another human being, because it struck me a few days ago that it's been 30 years since I left university. And for the first 10 years of that, I was in corporate world, in direct sales to begin with. Then I joined the PepsiCo snack food business here in the UK, in my native Southwest Wales, and then got promoted to have a larger, different kind of territory, then went to head office. And working for a large multinational, as PepsiCo is, was just a lot of fun. And I learned a lot about myself, about big organizations and how they work, and the nature of suppliers and customers, consumers and shoppers. And it was a lot of fun. But as I went through my 5 years there, I was intrigued by the times I went on training courses, and I would watch the people take training courses, the people running it, and I went, oh, that looks like fun. And that's all it took way back in about 1997, the thought of, oh, that looks like fun. And in 1999, a competitor of PepsiCo asked me to join them and heading up their training division, training and development division, where, again, within snack food and biscuits, cookies, again, here in the UK. And I did that for 2 years. And then in 2001, I really realized that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to deliver training and development for companies as an external consultant. I wanted to do the delivery of training full time. So I joined the company who trained me back in the mid late 90s in 2001. And in that 5 years I was with them, and was also then, after a couple of years, the manager of the other training facilitators. But I noticed that I wanted to spend more and more of my time developing myself and seeing more for myself. So all of my vacation allowance was being spent on my own personal development. And I thought, well, this doesn't work. And I thought, well, there must be another way. And we reached a very good agreement where I'd become an associate and start my own business, where I would still do some work for them as a freelance consultant. And also, I had all my time up for grabs according to what I decided would be good for me. Mm. So I learned a lot about NLP. And then in that time, towards the end of that decade, I then had a coaching session, and it was, unbeknown to me, something called the three principles that I was being coached on. And I didn't like it. I went there because I wanted to be fixed. I wanted my insecurities and my bouts of depression to no longer be a thing. I wanted to be cured and fixed. But the coach said, well, you don't need fixing. And I hated that idea because I'd spend a lot of money going to Los Angeles to be fixed. But I heard something, because my next year of business, things started to really flourish. And the only thing I could put it down to was the time I spent with that person, Michael Neal, in LA. Mm. Something shook up in my head. Mm. I loosened about a few things, and it was incredibly impactful to me in my business.
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing that we believe so much that there is something to fix. So definitely, like, yeah, but you don't know me and my history. Like, yeah. when someone is saying it, you don't need any fixing. It's like,
yeah. And it's exactly what you've just said. I said, well, you don't know me. I do. I would be arguing for that. And I'm pretty sure you and I both have had people arguing with us when we are saying to them that they don't need fixing. They are quite adamant that they think they do.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you started to, I don't know, did you go to mentoring with George Pransky, or?
Well, as much as I didn't like that session that I had with Michael Neal at the end of 2010, I must have heard something, because when I left his house, I said, hey, if you do that super coach program next year, which was going to be in 2012 as opposed to January of 2011, so it was in a year's time, not 1 month's time, if you do it again in 2012, I'll come. And I thought, that was like, a strange thing to say.
Yeah, especially because how it started. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a horrible 4 hours. I liked him, though. I liked him, even though I didn't think he was saying anything meaningful nor real. And then when I did his super coach program in 2012, I heard this phrase for the first time, the three principles. Uh-huh. And I met George and Linda Pransky. They were the guests at Michael's program in the February of that year. So it's just over 10 years ago. And I liked Linda because of the impact that she had in a coaching demo on some of my close friends who were on the program with me. But I thought George was nuts, which is, again, kind of interesting given the last 10 years since.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I got to know him and Linda an awful lot more through 2013 into 14, and then I went on their mentoring program in 2015.
Ah, okay. So what? Why did you think he was nuts?
Well, why did I think he was nuts? Well, he kept talking about thought.
Huh.
And it's all inside out as opposed to inside in, and there's no outside that impacts us. And I thought, what's he talking about?
Uh-huh.
That doesn't make any sense. But here's what I find funny as well, because with a bit more perspective, on the flight out from London to Los Angeles before that weekend, I was sitting in on the plane and reading Jack Pransky's book,
mm-hmm.
Somebody Should Have Told Us,
mm-hmm.
my first principles-based book that I really read. And I was sitting on this plane, having had an upgrade from premium economy to business class. Oh, I can just press a button and they'll bring me green tea as opposed to water or juice or terrible coffee that I would have in premium economy. And I could press a button and I'd be flat, lying flat. And I'm enjoying this spacious experience of having this free upgrade with the airline. And reading this interesting book, but not really understanding what it was talking about. But it was on a reading list, so I had to read it. And I thought, oh, well, got 10 hours. What else am I going to do? I'll relax here, drink lots of green tea, spread myself out and read this book. But I had this other thought that in 2 months' time, I thought, well, my April flight that I'd already booked is in economy, not even premium economy. So I'm going to be really uncomfortable on that flight because of how close the seat in front of me is, how small amount of width I will have, and legroom. And I'm a short guy, but still it mattered to me that I'd be, you know, I would have an awful lot of less leg room in 2 months' time for this trip.
Mm.
And I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking it over, oh, well, that makes this even worse because in April I'm going to feel terrible about this experience that I'm having now in February. And at that moment I went, wait a minute. I'm having an economy class experience in a business class seat. And suddenly something just started clicking in my mind about, hey, yeah, it is. It is inside out, this.
Mm.
But I still didn't, it didn't settle enough for me to not think George was nuts when I met him a few days later after arriving there.
Mm.
But there were moments of truth that were touching me unbeknown to me that were having a subconscious impact on me, not cognitive so much, but a subconscious impact where I was settling down and seeing more and more without even trying. And I got over the fact that I thought he was nuts very quickly. Because the next time I saw him, having had no other experience, I thought he was awesome. I hadn't talked to him. Something had changed in me.
Hmm. Yeah. And it's a funny story how you in that seat on the airplane, like really see yourself tricking yourself, creating the experience. And it's a good book also, the Jack Pransky's book there. And in the webinar, I think it was really interesting because George said something to you that made a shift of you bringing the principles into business, right?
Yeah. Well, early in that time of being mentored by him and Linda Pransky and Barbara Patterson, George said to me that, well, when I know that you're good with people and I know that you love what you do, and I know that the principles have had an impact on your life, but I don't hear you talk about them as if they're the best thing since sliced bread, or in other words, the best thing ever.
Mm.
And he was saying, well, to me, I mean, they're everywhere and behind everything, and it's the best thing that anyone can have, but you don't see it like that, the way you talk about it. And I then went instantly, he's right. It's not how I see it.
Mm.
I don't see this as the best thing that I can offer, that it answers everything that all my business clients have ever wanted. I didn't see it then. And in that realization of the gap between how he thought and the way that I thought, I started seeing more without me having to do anything about it, because that was an insight, a realization that I had. And my mind kept looking without me realizing it. It kept looking at what was behind the scenes of what I was up till then seeing. And I was noticing more and more the fact of how thought works in human beings, the fact of how amazing the mind is, and its nature is that it's calm, and how much better we do when we're calmer, how well we do when we've got less in our mind, how consciousness makes thought appear more or less real, more or less personal, and how that would be really helpful for people at no matter what they're up to in the world. And given I was working and in the world of helping people in their companies with their work and in businesses, then it was natural that I would see more and more about it there.
Yeah. So before that, what did you bring to the corporate world?
Classic sales training, classic negotiation, classic leadership, classic presentation skills, behavioral level, useful models. They got results. I mean, I would pride myself on extremely good return on investment numbers. But it never made sense to me that when I'd go back and ask the participants on a training course, what was the difference that made the difference that got the results? They wouldn't be saying the things that I thought I'd spent all the time talking about.
Yeah, like the model. Or
they wouldn't technique. Be talking about the model. They'd be talking about other things. I suddenly understand that selling isn't me pushing. I went, well, that's obvious. How come you didn't know that before?
Yeah.
Someone would say, I suddenly realized that negotiation is not adversarial by nature, even though sometimes I feel like that and sometimes the other party might behave like that, but it's not adversarial. And I'm going, yeah, well, that's obvious, but I don't spend much time talking about that. Someone might say, I've had a massive leap of confidence. We didn't talk about confidence. What's that down to? So I was puzzled by that all the time, which kept my mind, I think, really open to seeing more.
Yeah. So what do you see for benefits for people, like understanding the principles, the three principles, what kind of impact does that have in business?
Yeah.
And or in work life?
Well, I can share some examples, but before I do, I think it's worthwhile me making it really clear that I do not go into companies and say, hey, there are these three principles. And I do not go into, with new contacts in a client base or a brand new corporate client to me and say, hey, you need to know about the three principles, because I know that would not be as effective as the way of actually going in there, listening to what their challenges are, and then me reflecting, what do I know at its deepest level, more upstream as possible? What do I know that would impact that challenge the most, or make the problem disappear, or have a step change in people's performance because they've got something sticky that they might have, sticky thinking that they might have about something. So I start with there at, and then I go as far upstream as I can go without losing relevance. Because I don't want to lose relevance, because if they don't think it's relevant, they don't listen. So I don't want them to not listen. I want them to be in the room with me. And so here's an example.
So when you're saying going upstream, what does that mean in this context?
Yeah. So think of an example. There's one person that just came to mind now who was working in a, let's just call them a data company, that they would sell data to other businesses. and brilliant at working numbers on data and analyzing figures of people's behaviors and people's perceptions and so forth. In the business category that he was an expert in, and I can't really say who it is because for non-disclosure agreements that I have with a company. Yeah. But I could have gone in and talked to him about, right, well, here's what selling is. Selling really is needs and benefits. And while that's true, upstream of that is, what do you think would happen if you talk to a potential client about the data that you have? Well, I don't know, he would be his answer. Okay. What do you think I don't know is about? Well, I don't know what I don't know about, but I've always hated not knowing. Now, given his job, he used to work in certainty, where 2 + 2 is always 4.
Mm.
Because of the analytical, logical part of his mind, and that's where he was brilliant at the analytical work. The whole human realm and unknown to him was a minefield. So, and this is in front of, you know, 11 other people, right? So it wasn't just me and him talking, but we were having a general conversation about it. And to say, well, okay, so how did you decide, all of you, the relationship with the unknown is just not good? How did you know that? Well, I don't know. So what I was saying there was, it was chipping at what they had not even known that they'd made up that looked true. So then I talked about, okay, so does anyone ever changed their mind about something in here? Give me an example. All right, so, okay, you changed my mind. What else? Did you ever have a firm belief about something? And it, yeah, right. You know, and then, okay, so how come the unknown is in a different category than these?
Hmm.
And it got them really reflective and said, well, that's interesting, isn't it? So this guy, who was to me the most analytical and probably the most shy person in that group, said something like, I don't have to think that. I don't have to be scared of the unknown. I don't have to even be scared of people. I could just go and talk to them and ask them what their key challenges are for the next 2, 3, and 5 years. Because I've got a feeling that what I've got, they'd really love.
Hmm.
Hadn't occurred to him before.
Yeah, that's a big insight.
I know. 11 weeks later, this guy sold $800,000 worth of business. And that channel, his department, hadn't sold anything since it was formed 2 years earlier. Well, that paid for a lot of training, right?
Yeah.
The return on investment from one person without one insight is pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sales training can't do that. Classic old-fashioned sales training, the stuff that I would have done back in 2002 to 2015, wouldn't get those results.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just one example.
Yeah. Because in the classic there would have been, I guess, like maybe talking of different behavior style, communication styles. How should you show up? How should you present? Use an agenda, yada, yada, and how to lead the meetings and use opening ended question and the funnel and then like close. Something like that, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all that came natural, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's helpful. But that's what I love as well. What you've just pointed out is that stuff happens naturally when we're in conversation with somebody without we have looked to re-engineer the behaviors without realizing that the behaviors the first time they happen is from a certain state and understanding that is different from copying a behavior. So as one example of that, I used to train, here are the 7 ways to ask an open question. And I would get them to count in role plays how many open and closed questions there were.
Mm.
I haven't done that for years. And the reason that, to me, the only thing I want them to have in their mind is, ask any question you want. Who cares if it's open or closed? If you're curious and you really care about what's going on in the other person's mind, you'll ask great questions. And you're in the conversation as opposed to thinking, okay, what were those seven words again? They're gonna, because I'm not listening. I'm not present. No. I'm doing something to somebody as opposed to being in a relationship and in a conversation with a customer or client.
Yeah.
It's a horrible idea that I didn't know was a horrible idea.
Yeah. I mean, that's how people train and have been training for a long time, because we think it's so valuable. And also, when we're coming from that premise, it seems like, yeah, the people we're going to train, they're so stupid. So we need to teach them how to ask questions and teach them to be curious.
I know. When we're born curious.
Yeah.
There's a lovely exercise that I do frequently with a group for the first time, which is, I get them to list all the skills that they think are really helpful in their role. You know, and I fill the flip chart in with those. And then I go back and I ask them this question, and I want you to spend a bit of time thinking about this, I say to them. Which of these do you think are natural born skills? And which do you think are learned? Mm-hmm. And they go, what do you mean? Okay, well, let's play with a few. And questioning. Okay. Oh, it's definitely a learned skill. I said, well, the language might be. But when were you most curious? When did you have more questions than you've ever had in your entire life? And they went, yeah, when I was born. Mm. Might not be able to say what those words are, but that's when I was, okay, yeah. Listening. Oh, yeah, we need to learn to be better listeners. Okay, when were you at your best at listening? Well, I don't know. Well, what gets in the way of listening? Preconceived ideas that I think I know the answer. Mm. Were you born with that? No. So what is that? Oh, my Lord, listening is one of those other ones I was best at when I was newly born. Mm. I would listen better. And all of a sudden, there's these kind of, the color in people's faces change. They either get excited and red, or they get pale and white. But they go, this is different. And then they realize that so much of us at our best is not learning new. It's seeing what we've made up since we were born.
Mm. Like unlearning.
Unlearning.
Yeah. Or covering, taking away the cover or something, uncovering or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Uncovering all the falsehoods that we've made up since we were young.
Mm.
And then people just they show up authentic. They show up connected. They show up with less of themselves on their mind, a lot less self-conscious. And all of a sudden, well, their performance goes through the roof. What their colleagues think of them is higher, because they're so much more likable and lovable, because they're just showing up as opposed to having a veneer, a front of who they think they need to be.
Mm.
That authenticity comes out, and they listen to each other better. They're better leaders. They're far more innovative with fresh ideas. Their relationship with their customers is so much better. And so it's no surprise from that place that performance and then results that follow are so much higher than I ever thought was possible, given what I knew 20 years ago, what I thought I knew 20 years ago.
Mm. Yeah, and there we have a lot of benefits and effects of having a deeper understanding of the three principles and how it can affect the work life.
Yeah. Yeah. Tomorrow I'm recording with a colleague. He and I are recording for another corporate about overwhelm. Because there's overwhelm.
Overwhelm. So we've got
too much on our mind, and we're just feeling crowded.
Yeah.
Because the people in this company, they're being asked to do a lot. There's a huge culture change. How they're measured is different. they've got various stages of coming back to work post lockdown, and they've got a lot of client issues. They're a business to business business in expert services, and thankfully the people in that company really care about their people. And me and my colleague, well, he used to work in that company, and I've delivered training and coaching to them since 2001. So 21 years I've been working with them in various different places around the world. Mm. And what they really want is that our people are struggling right now with overwhelm. Can the two of you just talk about it and then we'll record? And I said, oh, that's totally my thing. Really? What are you going to talk about? Well, look, I'll talk about it in the way that makes sense to me, and then you hear it and then you'll see what you see, and your people will too. Because as an example, okay, so in my mind, what overwhelm is, from personal experience and from listening to lots of clients who've had a similar issue with it, is that we innocently stack up everything we've got to do in our lives into right now, as opposed to seeing them as individual small things we need to do over time. We think we've got to do them all right now. And any time that we condense all of time, space, and the rest of our life into the next 10 seconds, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be overwhelming. Huh. Now, I don't know if they know that yet. Because in my mind, if I was to ask a lot of them right now, they might say something like, well, it's the amount of work I have to do and the changes that's causing me to feel overwhelmed. Mm. Not my trick of the mind. Mm. So I will, you know, in the first podcast, the first recording, I'll talk about the inside out nature, the fact that it's that what we feel, our state of mind, our emotions come from thought in the moment, not from anything else. No external triggers. It's just me right now in my head causing all of that. And in the second part, what I'll be doing is talking about what happens inside a human's mind that causes overwhelm. And my colleague, I've asked him, hey, I want you to be the practical devil's advocate and ask me, so what do I do about that? Sounds like a really nice idea. What do I do about it? Yeah. And that's why I want him to be the voice of the people who have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun, but I know that will make an awful lot more difference to them than me saying, hey, meditate before you go to work or go for a walk every time. Now, these are not bad ideas.
No.
But they're not the solution to an internal problem. And it may occur to us that, oh, what I need to do now is to go for a 5-minute walk or a cup of tea or a lie down. Great. But that's in the moment wisdom, as opposed to some allegedly smart person on a podcast telling them what to do.
Hmm. Yeah.
That will always work. And of course it never will, because there's no such thing as always work.
Exactly. Yeah. And that kind of like advice, task to do when you are feeling overwhelmed, you're so loaded with stress, so like, yeah, sounds good, but I don't have the time,
right?
So I won't do it.
Yeah.
And like, you don't know me, I have so much to do, so
I don't have time. I've got so much to do and you've given me more to do, thanks very much, this has been really helpful.
Yeah. Exactly. He's nuts.
Yeah.
And also like the problem with that kind of activity, and it's nothing, it's not the problem with the activity, but when you come from the state of mind and are so stressed and you see a new activity that you need to do and, oh, I have to do that too. So you go in and then you maybe do it, and then you're going into that activity with a negative perspective and emotion in it and feeling stressed and maybe not so much compassion for yourself in that moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know what I'm like with me.
Yeah.
I do the opposite of compassion when I'm that way.
Yeah.
I will beat down on myself. So if someone says, hey, here's a good idea, go and do mindfulness. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with mindfulness. But if someone tells me something I need to do, and I can't even read an email straight, and someone then tells me to wash the dishes and talk as if it's in present tense, it might be a really great idea. But I don't think I could do that well. And if I can't do the dishes well, I'm thinking, I can't even do the dishes. So my emails, all of a sudden, my problems have gotten bigger as opposed to less. So, you know, one way through that to me would be, if I can just, because I've noticed it for myself, if I can just notice what's going on, that in itself is enough to give me enough space in my mind that I can just carry on. And not being so burdensome, because I understand what's going on behind the scenes of that bad feeling. And more bad feeling, or even faster thinking when I've got bad feeling and fast thinking already, is never the answer.
Yeah. So what I see when I'm getting stressed or overwhelmed is I everything gets so serious. Like, I have to. A lot of that. Yeah. And so that's like a, I don't know, signal, something that actually makes me see it sometimes, not all the time, of course. So, yeah. And it's interesting. And because what came up is I had a client and we had our last conversation this week, and the client says, yeah, well, and I'm been coaching and coaching her and deepening her understanding of the three principles. It's like, yeah, but so now on, what should I do? What's like, is it something more I can do to like enhance the understanding and things to do more like a technique or something like that? And I said, no, it isn't. But you can listen to podcasts and books and deepening your understanding in that way. Yeah, because sometimes I can sit in a meeting with someone and like really feeling my heart beating and I'm getting wrapped up. But then suddenly I like come back home, I go back. And so, yeah, that's an activity. And I was like, no, that's an insight. That's an insight for you in the moment, saying, hey, go back, calm down, go come home. And yeah, it's an activity in some kind of way, but you need to have that insight. Otherwise you will keep going and like feeling you're affected of the other person.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, yeah, maybe. So that's the thing with the understanding of the three principles, as I see it, like it's gives us nudges, like,
yes,
hey,
yeah,
come home, or now you're all wrapped up, you're stressed, or you're at fast thinking or taking stuff serious or something like that.
I'm really glad you've said that, because one thing I notice with people, and I'm convinced with me too when I talk, but when I listen to other people, I notice how wise they are and that they don't notice it. So your client saying, well, this happens. Well, that's real-time wisdom, universal mind in action, providing insights that nudge us into what to do in real-time intelligence. Yeah. Seeing more of that makes such a difference. So, as you said, when I'm serious, what that means is oh, I've made something up that's really serious. I've made it into something serious. That's an indicator I'm really in my head right now.
Yeah.
That's what's really helpful. That's grounding. And that's our wisdom showing us. And sometimes it doesn't feel like it's a wise thing. It just feels like it's a telling off. It's me chastising myself. But in fact, it's me just giving me nudges.
Yeah.
Giving you nudges. Your client giving themselves nudges. We have those nudges.
Mm.
And it's knowing what they sound and feel like. Because the feeling tells us. So here's an example. I had no idea that my frequent insecure feelings were really good friends my entire life. I thought insecurity was my enemy.
Mm-hmm. It's so easy to believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will again before the end of the day.
Yeah.
I'll do that, right? Yeah. It won't take me long for that to happen.
Okay.
But the key thing is that feeling is telling me I have made something up in my mind that looks like it's personal or permanent or real that isn't any of those things. And that's the feeling of seeing when you're in your imagination again, come back home.
Mm.
It's a really a nice way for me to have a different relationship with that feeling, because I truly believe that that is a friend. And I don't know if I've ever said it that clearly or thought it as clearly as I do right now in my entire life until right now. But I know it's true.
Mm. Yeah, once again, it's an indicator, like telling us we're like going in the wrong direction.
Yes.
Yeah. Please turn around. Please turn around. Or something. I don't know. Please wake up, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy for us to. And this is coming more and more clear for me also, like when we having this kind of uncomfortable feeling, we think that I need to do something with it. I need to remove it. I need to replace it. Because innocently in the moment, it's very uncomfortable. So I'm not saying anything about that. But we believe that it actually can harm us and actually make us damage us in some kind of way.
Yeah.
But it's like it's impossible. It's like it's just a signal. It's like I usually take this as an analogy. Like if you're running and then you suddenly sprain your ankle. It's not the sprain, the signals from the foot, the ankle that goes through your body into your mind and your consciousness via your brain. That's not hurting and making your foot harm. It's just signals. But it's going to be your stepping on your foot that may be going to harm your foot in that case.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because there's something really profound in what you just said to me that I know for me, if I had a recurring emotion, a recurring feeling, I felt that meant something about me.
Mm-hmm.
I would create an identity around it. Mm-hmm. Or let's say I had, because I was talking with someone a couple of hours ago for the first time, and what they were telling me was that they have lots of things from their childhood that just reoccurs. And they think that has meaning to them other than the fact that they have an emotion that reoccurs.
Mm.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
No.
In itself, it doesn't. But we think it does. But at another level, and I'm not, this can easily sound as if I'm being an uncaring, unsympathetic person. And I'm not. I can really relate to a lot of the things that people talk about in this realm. I really can. And while we don't have time to get it. Now I've talked about it publicly in a few other places about my own battles, my own demons. It is still memory in the moment, which is my thought right now that appears real and personal. And thought changes, so feelings change. They don't mean what we think they mean. And I remember talking with somebody else who was quite a successful actor, but didn't actually think they were very successful. And they said to me, well, these feelings keep coming back. And I said, well, for them to come back, they must go away. And they shut up for a second and thought, well, that's true. I never thought of it before. So what do you make of that? Well, it's interesting. I didn't even notice that they kept going away. Why isn't that as equally as important as the fact they keep coming back? Yeah. And of course, that just started to open up some gates to the fact that then they had such a fluid view on who they really are compared to what they thought in the previous few minutes or weeks, months, years, and decades in their example, so of being alive. It's remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah. Just how the insight can make such a big shift and transformation in people with that kind of insight.
Yeah.
And it changes everything. It doesn't mean like, oh, some people would be like the salesperson you had that you mentioned, like showing up. Oh, well, I don't need to be scared. I can just go and ask. But usually it's like, because we have such a habitual thinking, so it's easy that thoughts comes up again. But I would say it's like maybe it can be scary to watch a scary movie the second time, but it's not as scary as the first time. So because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's the same with this thing. Like when you get an insight to what your thoughts about your heritage or history or childhood or anything is not true. When you come up, when they come up again, the thoughts might be scary because you're still going to feel something.
Yeah.
And that's feeling and those thoughts are very familiar. But you've seen the movie before.
Yeah. And even if it's for the first time, here we are. We've either paid money to watch this movie in the cinema, in the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're watching it on a pay-per-view or something for the first time, or in just investing 2 hours of our life. We pay time and money to go and watch something that scares us when we can do a better job for free.
Yeah.
We do. We even get up in the morning.
Yeah.
I might have scared myself 6 times.
Yeah, exactly.
Certainly used to.
Yeah.
At least 6 times before getting up in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing capacity that we have when we see it as the capacity that we have to create scary movies in our head, and they're only in our heads.
Yeah. Yeah, even the scary movie that we watch on the screen is made in our head also.
Right. It's just pixels.
Yeah, exactly. So what would you say that is... I don't know if the biggest effect of understanding the principles that can have the biggest effect in people, in business and work life.
They are, well, let me say this. They show up as themselves. And I can't wish for more than that for people. Now, a lot of people would think, well, how come that's enough?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best of all of us. I remember I had a mentee with me in New York, watching me work with a company over 4 days. And I'm going back 3 years when this happened. And the mentee was saying, oh, geez, the group's great. But when are you going to talk about the big thing? And I said, I want them to have their realizations. I'm not going to do the reveal for them. And afternoon of day two, the most skeptical person who was there that was most in their head said to everyone, wait, effectively, I can just be me. Right? And my mentee went, right? It was so cool. And then there was me, like almost crying. Her boss almost crying, because that was just like, oh, I'm so happy she's seeing this, and I'm glad I went into this company, because I know he helped me in my previous company and my team. And this person just melted into, oh, I've been putting up this front my entire life that has just created barriers between me and my clients and me and my team. And she was in charge of quite a big division.
Yeah.
In the company. And she loved herself more.
Mm.
She loved her people more. She loved her clients more. She loved her boss more. And everyone loved her more. And of course, in that place, the results follow. Absolutely.
Mm.
Inevitable. If someone is more present to their role and the world out there than present to the noise in their heads, of course they're going to do better.
Mm.
And have more fun doing it.
Mm. Yeah. And probably, like, not probably, I know, not only in work life, also in the private life also, all relationships getting better. And like showing up as ourself without like painting a picture that we try to fit in or to try to be someone else. And I think, I don't know, is it Shakespeare who said, be yourself, everybody else is already taken, or something like that? I don't know. But it's a good quote, and it's so true. And it's so easy sometimes to actually believe that we are ourselves when we're showing up, but we have these kind of, I don't know, unnoticed programmings or way of being in different kind of situations.
Yeah. Well, that matters, actually. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's easy to misinterpret that show up as you, as in, oh, okay, I've got to show up as me. And this is showing up as you, not the story of you, the truth of you. So me showing up as the truth of me without me on my mind, without Win making up a story of Win and living up to or down to or into that, me just being the expression of life itself.
Mm.
Present in the moment to what's in front of him.
Mm.
And that's what's on offer for everyone when they are not in their stories themselves. That's what showing up really means.
Yeah.
Psychologically free. It's more powerful than the phrase that I hear a lot in business these days is psychologically safe. And psychological safety's become quite a thing in lots of organizations. And I think it's a wonderful step forward.
Yeah.
But what's even bigger than psychologically safe is psychologically free, because everyone does better there.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I see it, the psychological safety and freeness, it's innate.
Right.
We just need to see it.
Yeah.
You just need to uncover all the bullshit.
Yeah. It, as you said earlier on, the word unlearning. It's an unlearning. Yeah. It's back to our natural state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Great. Yes. I think Michael Neal said it also, like, because he's had two versions of it. One was in the first training I went into impacting leaders on Mind Valley with him. That was when I first came over the three principles.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And that was 2019, 2020. And I was like here back home in our new home and new house, and like starting to renovate a bathroom, and I was listening to the training, and he says, yeah, now I'm gonna teach you the most effective and best coaching method you ever will need. I was like, stopping myself in my tracks. And I was like, okay, show up, respond to what shows up. I was like, that's it? and that is so true. And that means, of course, for me, not having ideas of where I should take this or how it should be, and like planning so much, like just show up and see what's happened, like respond to it. And the other thing he mentioned, like, I think it was last year, and that was like something like show up, be yourself, see what happens. And the more we do that, the more fun it will be, and easy, I would say.
Yeah.
Compared to like trying to remember how to be, or I don't know.
Yeah. You know, there's one other thing that I that came to mind as I was listening to you then, and talking about that is, because you talked about insights earlier, and of course the insight that you had when you stopped in your tracks and you heard the here's the coaching model, show up and respond to what shows up. The feeling that we get when we hear something like that, and the way that you and I have been talking right now, is that truth has a feeling to it. Very different feeling than a reframe feeling, mm-hmm. or a technique feeling, or a do this, here's six steps to success feeling. Truth has a resonance that is a deeper insight that, and if it's true, it never goes away. Mm. And that's, to me, one thing that I love. As far as I'm aware, this is the most truth thing I've ever come across. And it's truth that requires no effort. It's truth that carries the day. It's the truth that makes showing up be the best of us. Not as a clever way to live and write it on my, get a Sharpie out and write it on my bathroom mirror. So when I'm cleaning my teeth, I tell myself 30 times, show up as you, and show up as you, and you got this, you got this, you got this. Mm. Truth's more powerful than anything, because it can't fade.
Yeah. And it can't fake either.
That's true. Yeah. I'll fake it.
Yeah. Which, like an affirmation being like telling yourself, I love my job. I love my job. And you feel the whole fakeness in it, and like, well, I don't love my job.
Why do I lie to myself 20 times today?
Yeah, exactly.
Before I leave the bathroom.
You know, yeah.
But again, they have very good intentions, and they work with a lot of people. There's nothing evil about any of that. So if anyone's listening and they really enjoy that, keep doing it.
Yeah.
And know there could be something else around the corner too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And of course, innocently, and I think you and me are really good examples of that. I mean, when we trained people and coached people before, it was like, yeah, I know the truth, but I will not coach them in it. So I'm gonna like fool them. Like, I'm gonna teach you this instead. Of course not.
Yeah.
We always doing the best with what we believe in.
Right. That was our best then.
Yeah.
We didn't know any different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And that is not only included in salespeople, psychiatrists, psychologists, or any. It's also included in partners, parents, friends, kids, politics, politicians. Yeah. In everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
We do what makes sense to us in the moment. And to me, it's reassuring for me to know that in maybe in 5 weeks' time, but I know in 5 years' time, I might well look back at what I said in 2022 and go, oh, really? You thought that was good? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. You didn't know anything. I hope that will carry on like that. I hope to be humbled by how little I know today in the future again. Mm. And I don't want that to get in the way of me keep showing up given what I know today, because that is my best right now. Mm. And my best right now is my best right now. I can't do my best tomorrow today. My best tomorrow isn't here yet. So my best today will have to be my best, because of course it is. Now, I used to think that I would only be ready when, and I'll be good enough when. So I didn't see what I've just said. And I would hold back because I'll be smarter tomorrow. So let me wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, realizing that all my todays are being kind of like sucked away by that innocent untruth.
Yeah. And even when that happened, you did your best.
Oh, yeah. Because even that was my best.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. I'm even off the hook for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's so important for us to have compassion for ourselves when we look back at things we did that like, yeah, how could I do that? Yeah. Not a good decision. Really stupid. But it was still the best you could do in that moment. Otherwise, we would done differently.
I think Kathy Casey has said to a group of people who are in juvenile detention center in the US, and they were noticing how regretful they were for doing the acts that took them into the juvenile detention center, in other words, young person's prison. And oh geez, I wish I hadn't done that. And then Kathy would say, oh well, not from a place of you idiot and I don't care, but oh well, can't change the past. Here we are. Mm. Let's look at now.
Yeah.
As opposed to beating ourselves for things that we didn't know any different about in the past.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Well, thank you a lot for this conversation, Wynn. If people are interested in coming in contact with you, what is the best way?
My email is simple but easily misspelt, which of course makes an email.
So where do I put the at? Is it simple at very misspelt?
Simple at AOL, because it's that old.
No.
My name, Wynn, which is W-Y-N, single N, at winning, which is W-Y-N-N-I-N-G.co.uk.
Yeah.
Or you can just look me up on LinkedIn. There's only two Wynn Morgans that have got any kind of presence on LinkedIn. One is an economics professor, a very lovely man, the head of economics in the University of Nottingham in the UK. And the other guy is me, the coach and business guy. We got in touch with each other because we kept having messages from people looking for the other Wynn
Morgan. Ah, okay, cool.
So he's easy to find, and so am I.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will put the contacts in the show notes also, so that's going to be easy.
Well, that's even easier.
Yeah. And you have a new mentoring program coming up in June, right?
Yeah, it starts in June. Enrollments are already coming in for that.
2022. I'm just saying that, so making it clear for people.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this in 2024, I might be doing something different now.
Yeah.
But not that different, I'd imagine. Yeah. But there's a program that starts in June 2022, early June. But also to know that if anyone ever wants any kind of, you know, a conversation or mentoring, whether it's as a part of a group or one-to-one, then there's always opportunities to have a conversation about what that might look like. I've seen that for myself and how big a deal that is. And I've normally got anywhere between 9 and 15 mentees at one time, as well as private clients and corporate clients.
Hmm. Yeah. Cool. Cool. So, yeah. So and I will also put in the web address to your winning.co.uk. Yeah. Perfect. And also the link to your podcast, of course, Under the Noise.
Yeah. It's a good fun podcast. I think me and Kate really enjoyed doing it, and there's a new episode out every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely. So yeah, you're going to say something?
Yeah, Daniel, thank you very much. It's been lovely to talk with you today. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And before we finish off, if you're going to send a message to the listeners or to the listener, what would you like to say to them?
Wow. Ah, okay. So until I understood the little that I know about what Sydney Banks termed the three principles, I used to think that life was to be endured at best. I can't fathom, I can't really put into words how different this understanding has made to me in my life, and how the fact that I now feel like I've been incredibly lucky to have been born, and for most of my life I didn't think that. So to you listening right now, if that seems like a big deal, or it just seems like it's a little bit trivial, stay in the conversation, because life understood is something that is more marvelous than I could have imagined.
Tack för att du har lyssnat på det här avsnittet. Är det så att du uppskattar den här podcasten, så får du självklart dela den vidare till dem du tänker kan ha ett behov av att lyssna på den. Det finns också en möjlighet för dig att skicka ett meddelande, ett röstmeddelande. Antingen så kan du då gå in på anchor.fm/humanchange. Alternativt så går du in på min hemsida humanchange.se. Du kan också skicka frågan till mig på daniel@humanchange.se. När vi ändå är inne och pratar min hemsida, så finns det faktiskt en möjlighet att där boka in sig på ett kostnadsfritt coachingsamtal med mig. Det finns inga förbehåll att du måste ha tankar om att bli coachad, utan du kanske har en frågeställning, bara så här: det här skulle vara intressant att bolla med Daniel. Så kan jag hjälpa dig på något sätt, så gör jag det mer än gärna. På hemsidan hittar du även videokursen Nyckeln till stressfrihet. Det är en videokurs som jag tillsammans med Danielika Almqvist har skapat. Och det är ett program då för dig som vill ha ett stressfriare liv. Och några vanliga effekter som man kan se efter det här är då minskad stress, oro, frustration och psykisk ohälsa. Ett ökat lugn, välbefinnande, sinnesro, ökat självförtroende och självkänsla med mera. Du hittar den på hemsidan. Du kan även hitta den i beskrivningen på det här avsnittet, så finns det en länk.